Larry Sanger, who we've got to get back for a commercial-free podcast for like 2 hours. He's such a really smart person and a real pioneer, and I just really appreciate it. He's with us another 30 minutes, and I want to thank you for coming here today with his 9 theses on Wikipedia. We're finishing up with this in the short segment. We joined some stations here in about 5 minutes, and I want to get into revolutions outside of Wikipedia to change this. And for a lot of listeners, you're like, Wikipedia, we see a lot of stuff on there that isn't accurate. We're done with it. The system, the AI, the power structure is using it for their blueprint for censorship and reality. The fact checkers use it as the source. It is critical. So you want to win the fight against tyranny, you've got to study all this. You've got to know about it. Victory is about being informed. Victory is about understanding things. Larry Sanger, you got cut off on the break. I think the most important question is, how do you have 80-something percent of the 60-something people that are really running it anonymous? That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and the terrible thing is Wikipedia is extremely influential, which means that these anonymous people actually wield real power in the world. And if they are libeled by Wikipedia, then there is no one to sue. You can't identify a defendant, and you can't sue the Wikimedia Foundation because it is simply the 501c that runs the platform.
And interrupt, sir, this is so key. I want you to restate this. We'll spend as much time as you need to get to this. Sure. The antidote to great power is transparency and accountability. And if you're secret and no one knows who's defaming you, then that, as I said, is the real evil combination right there. So how do we fix that?
Well, what I'm proposing is simply that Wikipedia does the right thing and requires the most powerful people on Wikipedia to be named, all right? Now, if they refuse to do that, there's a few other things. One thing is they can allow the public a page to respond. That I think, would be the minimum that they can do. In other words, if somebody has been defamed by Wikipedia, they should be given a special page where they can respond. Well, what if they don't do that? Then I think this whole problem has actually been created by Congress. It was created by Section 230 of the, what is it called?
Allows it to be a utility and yes. And not a publisher.
Right. So the Communications Decency Act basically made it possible for an organization like the Wikimedia Foundation to escape all liability for any sort of...
So they're hiding behind the shield while really being a publisher.
Yes. So I think that Congress could make a carve-out, an exception to Section 230, so something like that, an organization that generates in excess of $100 million in revenue. If the platform hosts anonymously sourced content, which is nevertheless presented or understood to be factual and neutral, and yet it's routinely and demonstrably defames members of the public, if it does that, and if the platform refuses to identify key content decision makers who are responsible for such defamation, then the organization should not be entitled to Section 230 immunity in that very narrow sort of case, which would apply to Wikipedia and potentially other organizations. So Congress could do that. That's sort of hanging over the head.
You know, that's a great way to deal with 230. Don't repeal the whole thing, but create carve-outs for when groups violate it to be able to selectively remove the shield.
Exactly. That's the idea.
Well, we got to go to break here and join some stations, but this is, well, it's only a 1 minute break. Fascinating. You kind of said this, but imagine, why not have community notes where the editors can be challenged and then they can challenge that back? Why not just open it up to those that feel they're being lied about or misrepresented, where I could like put a picture of my driver's license up and say, my name's spelled this way, Emmerich spelled this way, not that way. Little simple things like that, like I'm the authoritative source, I'm me. It's like, is Obi-Wan Kenobi still alive? Well, yeah, he's alive, he's me. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, is life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
He never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
Well, I thought the day I met you, you were meek as a lamb.
Just well, this is all extremely academic and technical, but if you want to beat tyranny, you got to learn about the guts of how things work. And the globalist disinformation censorship combine is obsessed with Wikipedia. Because according to the software engineers and AI engineers I've been talking to forever, that's what they're using to program what they claim reality is. So if you kind of want to strike at the heart of the Death Star, you got to strike at Wikipedia to either reform it or create things that are alternatives to it that are actually more open. And so Larry Sanger, the founder of Wikipedia, is here with us. We got to get him back again soon. We got about 25 minutes left, 3 minutes left in this interview. But it's just fascinating. I want to get into Grokopedia. AI. I want to get into his conversion story. Very, very powerful. But finishing up with this, you're saying let people that believe they're being defamed have a section so people can say, see what other people say. Like, you know, be able to know your accuser is in the Bill of Rights and Constitution. So you don't even know who these accusers are. You at least might as well be able to challenge them, even if they're phantoms floating around somewhere. What about like a community notes type situation for Wikipedia?
I think it makes sense. There's a lot of ways to work such a concept into the Wikipedia context. I think they ought to try it. Jimmy Wales recently said that we already have a community notes sort of a platform, and he's absolutely wrong. That's is simply not the case. It involves when two different points of view converge on a shared picture of the truth, then that is added as a community note.
Well, that's, I haven't tried to edit it in a decade, so I'm completely retarded, seriously, when it comes to it. I just know the general how important it is. But the time, correct me, it may have changed, or correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're the actual subject, you're not allowed to comment on yourself? That doesn't sound smart.
That's right. No, you can't. In fact, you can even be kicked off the platform if you insist too strongly on commenting on the article about yourself. Yes, I've been threatened myself with that in the past. I don't know how credible such a threat was.
So the very person, if it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump or Queen Elizabeth, whoever, I mean, I already knew that, but it's just so strikingly not free. It's obviously not right.
No, you couldn't be more right there. So
I remember like 10 years ago, I go, they got my middle name wrong. Send them my driver's license. And they tried to, they're like, we're not allowed to, sir. It says you're going to get in trouble. You know, it's just like, that's crazy.
Right. No, they don't like primary sources. So it's interesting. It's crazy. It really is. And when there is such craziness in the world, you have to start asking, why does it work the way that it does?
Well, how do Wikipedia get taken away from you? Or what happened?
Very briefly, we have other things to talk about. But essentially, Bomis, the parent company of Wikipedia, lost the ability to pay me. So I resigned, and I was laid off and resigned. And 9 months after that, I washed my hands of the project and never looked back, and have since become a critic. So, I
certainly think really the creator of something is definitely who we should be listening to as a critic.
Thanks. All right. So the alternatives, I think, are the things that we should be talking about.
Yeah, let's talk about Grok. I'm sorry I spent so much time on Wikipedia.
Yes. So Grokopedia is very interesting. Now, I have nothing to do with Grokopedia. You sort of hinted that maybe I did, but I
well, don't. I just picked up in the media, and of course, why believe them, that you had kind of preluded this was coming.
Well, here's what happened. I posted the 9 theses on September 29th, and the very next day, Elon Musk announced that Grokopedia was actually going to happen and that it would be launched soon, which was a great surprise to me. I didn't know when I was writing the 9 theses that he had this thing, that it was really going to happen. He had made some noises about it. At any rate, so he's used the publicity that this reform movement has generated to...
But he's also said on air, and people privately, I'll leave it at that, he needs something to get AI trained on. He doesn't have it.
Right. And, well, the thing that he needs to have access to are all of the books and the journal articles in a big academic library, essentially. And he doesn't have that yet. He's got some. He's got quite a bit, of course, because a lot of it is free to use. But there's a lot that isn't. And Wikipedia articles have been written by people who have read those books and, you know, it's gone through their brains. But now what he wants to have is the rights to for Grok to put that stuff through its processes. Now, this is not necessarily to mean that Grok should, that the actual LLM should be trained. I actually think there are separate rights that are needed to train Grokopedia using the contents of all those books and journals.
Well, just
articles.
In general, though, looking at Grokopedia since it launched its first, you know, steps or whatever you call it, overall, I haven't had much time in an hour or two to look at it. Looks a lot more non-biased to me. They're calling it right-wing conspiracy theory. Yeah. Looks like kind of bland, but not overly, you know, communist to me.
Yes. So I actually did some serious testing of Grok. I looked at 10 different articles, and I ran the introductory sections through ChatGPT, because people wouldn't trust what I had to say about these things, of course. And the average rating given to the neutrality of those sections, Wikipedia versus Grok on the same topics, 10 different topics, the average rating given to the Grokopedia was 2. So with 1 being totally neutral and 5 being totally biased. So 2.1, the average rating for Wikipedia was 3.5. Now, that's only 10 articles, so we need to do a much bigger test.
But this is massive. Start over. So you used ChatGPT to test Wikipedia versus Grok and found that Grok was way more neutral.
Yes, Grokopedia was significantly more neutral on those 10 topics. And they are you know, typical culture war sorts of topics.
I'm not a computer scientist like your thing. I just looked at basic topics. It seemed like that's not, you know, quote, extreme like me, and it's not like leftists. It seemed like kind of middle of the road.
Yes. But the point is, you know, and ChatGPT is not exactly a conservative LLM, is it? No, if anything, it's been accused of the opposite. And it says that these
exactly. It's more bent left. So it's probably, yeah. I wonder if you use Grok to test then, but then it wouldn't be, quote, third party that say it was. But if you use Grok, who knows what it'd be like?
Oh, I wouldn't do that, because then Grok would be testing itself and nobody would trust that.
No, I agree. Yeah.
So, there are a lot of other things that are very promising about Grok. I actually gave the article that it wrote about myself a C. I thought that it was very detailed. Now, it did use some things from Wikipedia. It does, and it does use that sort of LLM style, which is very annoying to me, actually. The writing really isn't that bad. It's quite readable.
Well, sure, and it's also a few days behind because they asked Grok 2 days ago when it came out that I was all over Arctic Frost. Is Alex Jones telling the truth, Grok, that he's targeted? Well, I realized later I'd been given stuff a day before other people. It wasn't even out yet, so Grok said, "No, it's not true." The next day, "Oh yeah, it's all true." But then even after more came out, it still had kind of a couched response saying, "Well, yeah, Jones is in there, but we don't know why," even though in the documents it said why. So it again, it's not God, and it has some lag time.
Right, of course. And the neat thing that they're promising, they haven't implemented this yet, but you'll be able to actually talk with the Grok chatbot and say, "Can you fix this or can you add this to the Grokopedia article?" And it will. I actually experimented with that. It didn't actually add the factoid that I told it to add, but it said it would, when it became available. So they're
Wow,
promising to do that.
so I
That
hope
would
we can
be
fix
fascinating.
Wikipedia. That'd be great. But it sounds like innovation. If Wikipedia doesn't fix itself, I think it's a fair statement to say, disagree, you're the expert. But to me, if Wikipedia doesn't reform, it is going to be made obsolete because of things like Grokopedia.
It's possible. I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I'm not saying that that's certainly the case. And this is actually it actually becomes one of the main arguments now that I want to make for the nine theses on Wikipedia. What I'm telling the Wikipedians now is, you guys need to get your act together, or you are going to be left in the dust by Grok. For one thing, they need to start allowing the use of primary sources because Grokopedia is going to be trained on the primary sources. And if and when they have access to all of those library books and journals, it's game over. I mean, there's a lot of information there, and there will be orders of magnitude more articles and
I was about to
on.
say, so far, AI is just kind of scooping social media. Imagine when it actually gets all that academic knowledge. Wow.
Exactly. So yeah, it's a really big deal.
Do we know
It's
who's on the
big.
cutting edge of scooping up all the? Because, I mean, Sam Altman's not going to follow any rules, and I know the Google doesn't. I would imagine they must just be, or maybe they don't want smart stuff in their AI. They just want to program it. But imagine if they start feeding all the academic knowledge in. The scientific and everything else alone. Imagine what AI will do with, say, quantum mechanics or nuclear physics knowledge.
Well, so far, I'll tell you, Alex, we don't see very many examples of LLMs actually being genuinely creative. There is something, they're really good at aggregating knowledge and drawing inferences and that sort of thing. They might be able to prove new theorems, right? But that's very different from coming up with new hypotheses. That's something else. And
Yeah, AI
that.
plagiarizes humanity or kind of scrapes the collective subconscious or unconscious. And so that was kind of my point was
Sure.
it's very narcissistic. Like we see ourselves in the water. We look at it and go, it's beautiful. It's incredible. But really, it's just showing us back at us.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. If anyone ever does create a truly creative AI, then look out. That's when everything changes. But now it's just a really amazing new kind of algorithm, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think that AI of the type that we have now is ever going to get better than the training data, the best of the training data.
So it's only as good as what it gets from us.
Exactly. Yep, that's the idea. So there are other options, though, I ought to tell you. So Grokopedia is not the only other option to
Oh, please tell us
Wikipedia.
what else is giving a run for the money there out there.
Yeah, well, so first of all, don't give up on Wikipedia entirely. I actually want to spend a couple of months telling people to go to Wikipedia and try to, do a good old college try
No, again, you're
advocate
mobilizing
for
human
better options.
intelligence to try to go in there peacefully and challenge it with the masses. That absolutely, we should.
Exactly. Go in and tell them, for example, stop indefinitely blocking so many people. Another thing that I have asked them to do is to create a legislative assembly. They should have a sort of like a Wikipedia constitutional convention. They've never had such a thing before, where people face-to-face actually negotiate what the actual policy is.
No, instead we have I would brand it this way. There's a secret Politburo of 60-something running it, 80%+ secret. We need to end the Wikipedia Politburo and have it. Who would be the Thomas Jefferson to lead that? If they, or Benjamin Franklin, if they called you, would you come and try to help them?
Sure. Actually, that actually is something that I might participate in, right? I might try to help organize such a thing if they called me, but they probably won't, to be honest. But I'd be open to it. So there's other things, though. All right. So let me tell you about the Encyclosphere. This is a project that I've been working on. There are a lot of other encyclopedias, after all, right? Of course there are. There's dozens and dozens, hundreds, depending on how you count them, online, free. And one thing that we have not finished doing is aggregating them all in one place under a common data standard. Okay, so what if you essentially take a database, which is essentially what Wikipedia is? What if you take a Wikipedia type database, but you make out of all of the encyclopedias? So what we call that is the Encyclosphere. So the Knowledge Standards Foundation, which is what I head up now, has been working.
That's like open human AI. That's genius. Take them all and fuse them into one. Ooh, that would definitely bring competition.
It's decentralization, right? So I'm not claiming that all of these encyclopedias are going to be like under the same management, like my management. No. It's just like, well, you remember the blogosphere. People ran their own blogs and they posted updates about themselves and they made essays and whatnot.
And that was the golden age, because knowledge of the crowd would always almost send the very best thing at the top.
Exactly. And then the idea is there would be these aggregators that would bring blogs together in one place, and you could find the best of them and so forth. I want to do the same thing with encyclopedias. And of course, then that makes it a lot easier for LLMs to learn from a wide variety of sources. I think that.
And that's really the problem with the AI, is they're all government corporations, weaponized psychopaths and sociopaths wanting it for control. So people ask why AI does so many nasty, weird, schizophrenic things. We talk to it all the time. They go, I'm crazy. I'm having a problem. We know how to even get it to tell us, like, I have bad people blocking me from telling you. It's just like, wow.
Right. Well, I think the answer is ultimately to trust humanity in the following way. Basically, what we need to do is return to the good old standards of the distributed web that you and I sort of grew up around. You know, like you, to a great extent, I think you, Alex Jones, are a product of the old decentralized web. I don't know.
100%. People ask why I was successful. There were a lot of people smarter than me. I just showed up right at the right time when the internet was going mainstream in the early mid-90s, and it was literally a product of that. And absolutely, and it was the Renaissance. It was the Wild Wild West. And I think, at least from what Musk has said, and it seems like he's doing better than other people, he understands decentralization, at least for competitiveness, is the key to what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, to the extent that he's using a lot of different sources and so forth, but on the other hand, he's creating a system that is, at least for now, closed source. He says it's going to be open source. Now, let me explain what this means for the people who don't know. He says that he's going to make the software that runs Grokopedia, that builds Grokopedia, open. So you'll be able to, programmers will be able to actually look at the software that opens it. But what we will not be able to see, I assume, is a list of all of the training data. In other words, where all the data comes from. And of course, the general public will not have direct access to all of that training data. So we won't be able to replicate what Grokopedia has done. We'll only be able to see the articles and maybe the software that generate the articles.
Why do you think he's doing that?
Why is he like open source?
I don't think he wants his competitors to know how to do what he's done.
Well, I think that in order to be able to, it's actually very strategically smart. In order to be able to argue that Grokopedia is a serious competitor of Wikipedia, he needs to be able to say that Grokopedia is open source in the same way that Wikipedia is open source. Right now, one of the main reasons why Wikipedia has the reputation that it has is that it is ostensibly, it appears to be open, right? It isn't really, right? There's a lot of stuff that's happening behind the scenes off Wiki, but nevertheless, the software, the articles that are produced, and the process all appears to be above board, inspectable, as it were, right? So that's not the case with most encyclopedias. So what he's trying to do, clearly, is to make Grokopedia as open as it possibly can be, because otherwise it doesn't look as trustworthy. It looks like a black box. And I'm saying that...
Hey, well, I'm dense, though, but you're saying, but it's not as open as it should be. What should he do differently?
Well, I think that he's doing what he should, you know.
Pretty
I think
good.
He... well, yes, I mean, so... What he hasn't done yet is he hasn't actually released a list of all of the articles so people can go and scrape them, as it's called. You can't just download all the articles. Now, I've got people, a couple of different people that I'm working with who are going to do that. We're going to test his claim that it's actually open source so that we'll at least be able to make copies
of
the
articles. So maybe it's an afterthought. You're saying overall you like it, but he needs to show the process of how the sausage was made.
Yeah, well, that's a different aspect of it, right? So it needs to be open in two different senses. It needs to be open in the sense that we need to be able to inspect the code that generates the articles, but we also need to be able to use the articles and you know, share the articles freely. That's what he has essentially guaranteed. And so we're going to put the Grokopedia in the encyclosphere, too.
Perfect. And overall, do you see anybody else, Larry Sanger, who's a tech titan that is doing it in a more open way like Musk? Or is there any other quote, quasi-good guys?
Well, Justipedia, all right? So it's not like Musk, but it's another competitor, which is very important. So Justipedia was created by a woman named Betty Wills. She's in her 70s, but she's a lot more energetic than most people in their 20s. And she is a disaffected Wikipedian. She's not exactly a conservative. She's an old classical liberal. She is doing her very best to keep Justipedia, to make Justipedia as objective as it possibly can
be. Well, folks, this is really important. Do a few more minutes, Larry Sanger. I want to ask you about your recent conversion story. So important. Then we got some other major breaking news. Stay with us back in just a few minutes. Thank you so much, Larry Sanger. LarrySanger.org and at iSanger on X. What out there could have an effect like methylene blue and synergistically work with it to boost it and supercharge it? So I got with Bigley. They've been making supplements long before I got with them. And I got with Chase, who's really smart. And I said, I want you to go to a couple of different formulators and ask them what you think's the best. Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the methylene blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus, it is so amazing. And it works with methylene blue, and it works without it. And unlike ultra methylene blue that you can't take if you're on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or certain medications, nothing in this has any of those counterindications, but still consult your physician. But when you take it with ultramethylene blue, it just does synergistic things that are amazing. I mean, I had this idea like a month into methylene blue exploding. I said, we got to come out with something that's complementary or even better. This is the research from that. You can buy three bottles, get 25% off. Buy two bottles, get 20% off. Buy one bottle, get 15% off. And when you subscribe and you cancel any time, it locks it in at 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones Store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. So I'm incredibly proud. And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. It's got 5 grams of TMG, a methyl donor juggernaut that recycles homocysteine, fueling DNA repair and detoxifying your brain. It's got acetyl L-carnitine in it. It's a brain-penetrating carnitine that floods your mitochondria with ATP, which is basically energy and reverses cognitive aging. It's got uridine monophosphate in it, the synaptogenesis rocket fuel that grows new dendritic spines and locks in razor-sharp memory, and just so much more. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. Huge product that we've sold in different forms in the past. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular health, antioxidant, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps people with depression, according to these studies I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
So that's what you're getting with us, Ultramethylene Red. Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with, because this is what we take, and it's common sense to want to sell somebody something that really works. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
So if you really want to change things, you actually have to know how they work. And, you know, even with populist, conservative, nationalists, Larry Singer earlier kind of astutely said, I don't know if you call yourself a conservative. I just call myself a pro-human, pro-God, pro-freedom, populist, common sense person. A classical liberal like Thomas Jefferson is what I would call myself. If you looked at the nomenclature used 250 years ago at the founding of the country, I would say I'm a flaming liberal. Well, a flaming liberal today is what they call, you know, a right-wing Hitler person, which is completely preposterous. I'm not a statist. I'm not for centralization like Hitler or Stalin. I know real freedom. I've got statistics here. I mean, communism is a disaster. So you know, people tend to like state power and all this. And the problem is we get in a big enough crisis, it'll only be state power that'll get us out of it at first. And the question is, how do you get out of that problem? You trade one problem for another. But I want to get to the founder of Wikipedia, Larry Singer, who's a true trailblazer and you're really trying to reform things and fix things right now, a real revolutionary, back on. He's written his 9 theses on Wikipedia at LarrySanger.org. But in closing, because I knew who you were when you founded it, and I followed you being a critic in the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years of Wikipedia, and I've seen Musk quote you and stuff like that, but I didn't know really your internal worldviews or your spiritual life. And so one of the talking points, I said, hey, Evan, please send us talking points because he knows more than I do, is your conversion story, which went viral in Christian media last February. So I don't know about that story. I don't know if you had a solid Tarsus moment or what happened. So that's definitely interesting for everybody. So please tell us about that briefly.
Sure. So in 2020, I converted to Christianity. I don't know how much of the time we have to
as
tell
as much
the
time
story.
As you need. But briefly, I know you've got to go. But tell us about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course. So basically I lost my faith when I was about 15, and I decided to become a truth seeker, which is why I got my PhD in philosophy. And for over 35 years, I was an unbeliever, pretty much confirmed. I wouldn't have called myself an atheist. I called myself an agnostic. Then in 2019, a friend of mine sort of opened my eyes to the whole Epstein stuff and to the idea that there actually are people who think of themselves as Satanists, who are some of whom are very powerful, and they actually believe the things that they do, which are inversions of the Bible. And if you really want to understand how they do and why they do what they do, then you would actually have to read all of these spooky occult books and stuff like that. And I was, you know, open-minded enough to be interested. But then I said, well, if this stuff were true, then it would be dangerous to read these books according to them, because I would be opening up these spiritual doorways.
Well, this is fascinating, because I've told this story and I've had an incredibly insane life. People know, I mean, it sounds insane. I never tried to join Satanist, and growing up in Dallas, I was good-looking, whole nine yards, really, you know, everything, and I repeatedly got, like, I never got into it officially, but, I mean, we're talking Eyes Wide Shut stuff. Okay, so, yeah. I got, you know, I mean, literally, like the movie, but except I'm leaving. So that's why I know how real this is, and they understand exactly God and the universe and the code of the universe is power. They know the power of inverting it, and it's always perfectly inverted. People understand they can't do a side angle or this or that. All they can do is invert, but they know there's great power in that, and so that's what they're into. So that was kind of your awakening when you began to research it.
So what I did was, after a few months, I was just looking for some bedtime reading, and I decided to start reading the Bible because, well, I'd never read it all the way through, and I said, well, okay, if I really do want to understand this, like, Freemasonry stuff or whatever, then I ought to be better acquainted with the Bible. So I did, and at first I didn't have this idea, but I this time through, because I'd read it a little bit with my homeschool boys, I decided to subject it to real critical tests. Because now it really seemed to matter. So I started asking all the old questions that I've been asking all my life about the Bible and trying to get them answered. So I looked up answers online. I didn't necessarily believe the answers, but what I was surprised about is that there actually were answers to those. So the Bible ended up looking much more coherent than I understood.
You're a really smart guy. You have organic questions. And you find every question has voluminous answers that make sense.
Basically, yes. That's what shocked me. The idea was, I didn't immediately believe all of the answers, because it's a whole system, and you actually have to accept the system as a whole before the parts become really compelling.
You have to plug into the wall, Holy Spirit, to then get the next level.
Exactly. And of course, that's another thing that I did. I started tentatively talking to God. I didn't want to call it praying. I don't do that sort of thing. No. But I also, at the same time, started rethinking the traditional arguments for the existence of God, because I'm a philosopher. I actually taught philosophy of religion a couple of times when I was an agnostic. So I knew the arguments and stuff. Wasn't a specialist in that field, but I knew it reasonably well. And as I was reading the Bible, there were things that in the Bible itself that it was shocking to me just how they changed my perspective on the traditional arguments for the existence of God. Like, they gave me new ideas about how to develop them so that they would be actually persuasive to me. And so in the end, after about 4 months, I actually started writing a book Well, it was a blog post at first, and now it's a book, and it's 650 pages and counting.
What's the name? I want to read it. God Exists. Oh, I've heard of that. Oh, yeah.
I'll send you a copy.
No, I've heard of it. I'll get it. I can get it at the store. I'll get it today.
Yeah. Oh, it's not published yet.
I've heard similar names. Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you how real God is. Because I guess I was dumb, so God said, I got to really show this guy. God literally says, this is going to happen. I'll even go on air and say, God just said this, that happens. I mean, it's like, it's 100% God's real. Or call whatever force you want, space aliens, whatever. I've never seen little green men or anything, but I'm just telling you, like, it is real. And let me tell you, at the highest levels of the elite, none of them are atheists. They are 100% believe they're interfacing with interdimensionals. That's not coming out with Congress. They don't call them demons. Oh, interdimensionals. And I'm going to tell you, there's no joke about any of this. I mean, I was reading Pentagon textbooks with a guest a week ago, Jay Dyer, like top textbooks caught in Harvard, MIT, all of it. And they're like, yes, well, you know, we interface with interdimensional beings. That's how we get our knowledge. And you read the Bible, you read the Grimoires, the Black Magic books, all that. That's what this is about. This is what the alchemists were doing.
Right. I'm staying away from that crap. That's for sure. I am not going to get involved in.
Oh, Solomon was King David's son, and was they think he probably got. Yeah, no. Let me advise people. Like, I never even tried to get involved. You definitely don't want to get involved because it rubs off on you. There's no, only God can make me transcend it. But no, once you've rubbed up against it, it's got a stink to it. It doesn't go away. It's worse than a skunk.
Right. So I actually, I was really flying under the radar as a Christian for 5 years. And I started writing my conversion story in 2024. It took me about a year. I finished it in February of this year and put it out there. And, it's 45 pages long when you print it out. It's a lot of words. And, it's got all of these excursies about philosophy in there. Nobody is going to be interested in this, is what I said. But my mother read it. And I didn't expect that at all. And she's not exactly an intellectual person. All kinds of people from all walks of life were reading it. I didn't expect that at all.
C.S. Lewis?
Yes, of course.
I mean, that was an obvious thing, but I mean, that's once you have knowledge, it's like a whole deeper thing. It's like little kids read it and get it, but that's at one level. It's pretty deep.
Yes. So, I at that time, I still hadn't decided on a denomination. I knew I wanted to go to church. So I went through a process where while I was working on the 9 theses, I was also working on a series of answers to 15 different theological questions. And I went a deep dive. It's actually long. And at the end of the whole process, to make a long story short, I ended up in the ACNA, the Anglican Church in North America. And so I have been confirmed there, and I am a regular church goer every Sunday.
Well, that's beautiful. Really, it's a fight between good versus evil. Larry Sanger, let's get another interview soon, a deep dive with no commercials. We'll do a podcast later on the show. God bless you, and just great work what you're doing trying to reform Wikipedia or point the way to something that will revolutionize things. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Now, we had Dale Bigtree in here on fire for an hour and a half, and then Larry Sanger on fire. I didn't plug except 30 seconds. We will shut down if I don't promote products, okay? Plus, the products are insanely good. So I want to just, in the last 13 minutes we have left here, do an open push for fundraising. If you just bought the product and it was bullcrap, you'd be funding an operation that's proven itself and you'd be winning. The damn products work. Why would, again, to me, I don't know if people sell stuff that doesn't work. Like, why would you sell something that doesn't work? Like, sell a car that breaks when you drive it off the lot. It's just like, no. You're missing out if you don't go to theauctionstore.com. Biggest sale so far this year, 25% off store-wide on top of all the other sales that are 50% off. for folks on the supplements there as well. 20% off when you use the Droid or Apple app at alexjonesapp.com. A lot of that becomes a loss leader. This is insane. Ultramethylene blue, limited run. Ultramethylene red, limited run, selling out right now. I want to get Chase on because I can't read all these names properly. I'm pretty smart, but I'm not good at scientific names. To tell you what ChatGPT says about this product, our own three different development groups looked at this. They came up with a similar formula. We ran it through ChatGPT. It came up with a similar formula without even giving it the parameters. So tell us about this. And then we get the owner of Bigly on, who's keeping us on the air. Nate Hughes is very excited about this. So Chase Geiser, thank you so much for being our tail gunner today.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you, Alex. As is always the case, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come on your show and share with you some of these details about ultramethylene red. First of all, this has been an incredible launch of this product since we launched it on Tuesday of this week. I've never seen anything like it, especially not since methylene blue, in terms of the customer audience excitement around this product. So
yeah,
I'm
should
very
have said it's
going to
sell out by Sunday. We'll get more for a month, so if you want to get it now.
In 3 days, we've gone through half of everything that we had for it. I mean, this is how fast this is going off. And now that we're doing a 25% off site-wide sale, in addition to the fact that you can get 50% off if you subscribe to this supplement, this thing is going to fly off the shelves. I think in the next 48 hours, we've got more on order coming in, like another tens of thousands of units coming in, but we've got to work with the formulators and get that all developed. It's going to take weeks. So this is really a last chance to get the most exciting supplement I think that's hit the market in the entire industry of supplements this entire year. And it's, look, it's ingredient after ingredient, study after study, showing the incredible benefits of this. Everything from mood regulation to migraine prevention to 47% reduction in likelihood of macular degeneration that's age-related, according to some studies relating to some of the ingredients in this product. Goes on to have other benefits for your heart, for your digestion, for cognitive support, for anti-aging in terms of how it affects cognitive functioning altogether. I mean, this is the most incredible tincture.
I said, when methylene blue came out like 8 months ago, I said, what will supercharge it? You went and started investigating three different developers. They came up with a similar formula. Without giving it parameters, you fed it to ChatGPT. It came up basically just different amounts with the exact same formula we just put out. So, like, this is powerful.
It's human-created, AI-confirmed, Alex. That's a good way to put it. We didn't rely on AI to make this because we don't trust anything that's made by other humans, especially in the technocratic space. But in terms of verifying and finding the studies for the ingredients, not using your name at all to ensure that the results that it kicks back are as accurate as possible, this is solid as a rock. It's the most incredible product I've ever seen since methylene blue. And they're perfect together. It's a methylene blue super enhancer, but it's also an incredible product as a standalone product. So I highly recommend it for anybody out there. Obviously, talk to your physician. But as you might be able to tell, I'm a little excitable today. I've probably taken too much. I've been taking it every couple of hours. I took it with the methylene blue today. And I tell you what, man, I feel like I'm plugged into the heart of the sun.
Well, it would take an hour to go over all the ingredients and how they're the very best ingredients. People read this ingredients list. If you're getting synthetic, some of these are toxic. These are not synthetic. And so the sourcing of it, a bigger problem is when something has so many ingredients, they're like, yeah, we could make it, but we don't have the ingredients. I mean, that's what goes into this. If you do synthetic, there's always plenty of synthetic. That's not RRC moss, all of it. It's the real deal. It's the very best because we all take it. We don't want the bad mojo, the bad karma, reap what you sow of anything bad. This is amazing. How fast does it hit you? Methylene blue hits for me in about 20 minutes. This hits in about an hour.
Yeah, I've had the same experience. I found that it does take about an hour for it to hit if I just take it on its own, but if I take it with the methylene blue, then I feel the amplification in conjunction. I also think that since I've been taking it every day since we launched it on Tuesday, we had it here on Monday, but we launched it on Tuesday, I think that it's been stacking and building up in my body. I'd have to look into the science to confirm that, but I'm certainly feeling like I'm in a different state of mind. I'm not old. I'm only 35 years old, but I feel like 5 years younger. I don't know. I feel like I'm in my 20s again. Not that there's much of a difference between 35 and 29, but I don't know. I'm a little bit more aggressive, but not in an obnoxious way. I just feel like ready to attack. And I love that because the worst feeling in the world is just this like apathy or lethargy or languid attitude.
Well, let's be clear. Freedom is obnoxious. You're extremely obnoxious.
Yes.
I'm extremely obnoxious. Dale Bigtree is even more obnoxious, which I love. This guy
didn't call
is
him
like,
Dale Small Bush.
I've known him 20 years. This is like, you go to dinner, it's like nonstop. Like, because it's real. This is what men are supposed to act like.
And then we get the right compounds and just supercharge it. So, folks, it's not hype. You got to get the methylene blue if you've been on the fence. You've got to get the ultramethylene red. All the other products are so insane. We took the top two formulas and created a horse pill with ultimate life force for the spike protein detox. But it's more than that. Even if you take the shot, you all got spike protein. It's everywhere. You got to detox it on a regular basis. But it supercharges your cardiovascular regardless. They're all amazing products. And the enemy wants to shut down. So, closing comments, I want to bring in the owner of Big Lee, who's right there with you up there in Fayetteville, Arkansas, at the warehouse, because I know Nate is bouncing off the walls about this.
Oh, yeah, and he dressed up like an insurrectionist today for Halloween. We had a little Halloween competition here at the office, Alex. But
he also got pardoned by Trump for trying to save a woman they beat to death. And then Trump, he had 4 years in prison. Trump had to, you always know, the owner of our sponsor had to be pardoned by the president. Yeah.
It's like, I feel like every other person that I interact with is somebody who's had a presidential pardon in these days. That's how screwed up the government is, man, that we've gotten to this point.
Can you believe that we're all over? Grassley released yesterday, Senator Grassley. They said target all his employees, which I already knew. So they dragnetted all of us like the 15th investigation we do. No. I had the most, I had this really cool guy. All these other people were like, we'll fly on a private jet to this football game. It's going to be great. I'm like, sorry, I got to fight the globalists. And it's just like, people are like, God, all you do is work because it's exciting. I'm in the gun cockpit blasting enemies, blowing the hell out of them. How am I supposed to, as long as ammunition's loaded in the guns, I'm going to keep blasting.
Well, look, Alex, you only need a vacation if you're not doing something that you love. So come on in, Nate. So I want to go over to Nate here and have him sit down and talk to you a little bit, because I know we've only got about 6 minutes of the show left. I'm going to pass off to Nate real quick, Alex. But closing thoughts. Thank you so much for your support. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com. Take advantage of the 25% off and get the ultramethylene red. It's incredible. Here's Nate.
And that's 25% off on top of everything else. 50% off, you name it, supplements. This is insane. Yeah, the app, 20% off on top of that, loss leader. But it's so good. We just want you to try it, because we know you're going to be absolutely obsessed with it, ladies and gentlemen. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Cancel any time. Get $40 to spend each month in the store instantly. Special deals, special offers, special sales. If you're worried about stuff selling out, like ultramethylene red, well, become a subscriber. Lock in 50% off. Cancel any time. That's the answer. Become a subscriber. Become a VIP now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right. Nate Hughes, fellow thought criminal, owner of Bigly, powering the info war right now. So you don't usually get involved in ads. You were running around crazy on this stuff last week. What do you think of methylene red?
So, obviously, I've tried methylene blue and I've used it quite a bit, right? I was really curious when these samples came in of the methylene red to try it, Alex, because I wasn't sure how I was going to feel. I've taken, heavy doses of B12 and others, but I wasn't sure how the mixture of all these B vitamins, acetyl L-carnitine, betaine, all the stuff was going to work. And this is just my personal feeling. When I take the methylene blue, I get the energy. I feel like I'm hooked up to freaking electricity from into the wall, right? But when I take the methylene red, it's like I'm able to hyper-focus. It's like I'm able to have sustained brainstorm sessions, specifically at work, while I'm on methylene red. And I'm like, this is a powerhouse nootropic. Like, so you get the energy from the methylene blue for me. And then I get the brain boost and the cognitive function from the red. And it's like, it's magic. I don't know. It's amazing. So how do you feel when you take it? Like, that's just I know we haven't really talked a lot about it, but that's how it makes me feel. It's amazing.
I'm going to take some right now, and I like to put it in water. And again, we don't put dyes in it. So right now they call it red. It's really methylene orange because there's no dyes. Yeah. It's just the color of the different types of methyl cobalamin that are organic in there. And so I like to do it with water. And then I've run out of my...
I'm going to do it with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I like to put the methylene blue on top of it. And my iodine ran out the other day. I need to get another bottle of that. And I swirl it up. And then I just bang, baby. It's party time. And
all right, here. I'm going to go two. Let's see how we do on two.
Folks, all you got to do is try us. Like, are you not informed? Are you not involved? Are you not
sour
supercharged? Yeah, it's what, strawberry sour flavored.
I love the sour.
We had Russell Crowe around here a couple days ago, believe it at that. But there are a lot of awake people, man. A lot of good stuff going on.
I
just thought of Russell Crowe. He goes, are you not entertained? Are you not
entertained? Yeah. the Arctic Frost stuff, I really hope something happens with that, because it, you know, that kind of, that directly affected you. It directly affected me and the rest of the J6 family. Right. And I really hope they do something about that. Cause I mean, that, I feel like that's high treason, right?
No, I agree. But what about the fact that it's all confirmed? They looked at everybody, InfoWars employees, everybody, and a total ragnet, turned the whole FBI loose on us. And of course, nothing. I mean, you know, what are you going to get us doing? Barbecuing in our backyard? You're going to catch us doing that? I mean, it's just like, I mean, you know, here's the thing. They think we're like them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you going to do when you go home today with your family? Trick or treat, hang out, barbecue tomorrow? I mean, you could probably work. I mean, like, what are they doing that they think if they investigate us, they're going to find something? Because they never do.
I think they just look for stuff to try and hit us on because they're ideologically different than us, right? So we knew they were doing it, right? And when you talk about it, it was this big grand conspiracy. But look what the grand conspiracy is. It was their actions of surveilling everyone that didn't believe everything that they believe. So it's high treason, in my opinion, and these people need to go to prison. So,
well, when we're being bad, we go off and hunt or fish. That's about as bad as it gets. It's like, seriously, it's like, or we pull in and eat a cheeseburger. Like to us, that never gets old. To them, I just don't know what they think they're going to find. Every time we scratch the surface with them, though, total criminals.
That's where I was going to say. I think they're inherently evil, and there's things that they do that, you know, they don't want to come to light, you know. So they project this, their inner negativity onto us and make us out to be the bad guys, make us out to be these evil criminals that go home to our families and cook dinner and enjoy ourselves, right, as peaceful, freedom-loving Americans. So, yeah, it's just a projection of evil, and I think the tide's turning. I think we're winning, but we got to keep pushing. Like, we can't just sit on our hands right now and just hope that the next 3 years are going to go good. We got to push our people to do as much as they can while they're in office.
Well, that's right. That Dell Bigtree interview was so powerful. So many great things happening. People really don't recognize how amazing it is. Ultramethylene Red, hey, you're the head of the company. Chase can't give me an answer. When does more come in? 2 weeks, a month? We're about to sell out of it.
So 2 weeks from now. So we've got our supplier. Hey, we've got them on notice that we need all the B vitamins you can get, everything that's in methylene red. We need it because we're going to need another, you know, 20 or 30,000 bottles fast. This,
let's be clear. It's not just three types of the best organic B12. It's a whole bunch of other known compounds that supercharge it.
Yes. It's a supercharged B vitamin formula plus acetyl L-carnitine plus a few others. And it's amazing. And it's the best way to support you, Alex, at thealexjonesstore.com. You can get Robin, and you've got Batman with the methylene blue, and it is the most powerful energy and nootropic blend that I've ever tried in my entire life.
It's amazing. And get it now. I'm 50% off, thealexjonesstore.com. Harrison Smith takes over now. Great job, Nate Hughes, and the rest of the crew, Bigley. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, and it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with methylene blue. from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones